The first discoveries really took place at the turn of the 20th century. And the guy that made this discovery, the very first one, was a guy by the name of Max Ludwig Ernst Planck, P-L-A-N-C-K. Now, Max Ludwig Ernst Planck was just a typical, ordinary physicist, if anything like that could be imagined. By the way, around the turn of the 20th century, around 1900, do you know how many physicists were alive at that time? Not very many. Maybe 40? Right now, I think there's more than a million on the whole planet. Maybe several billion, I don't know, if we include all the countries that are currently doing physics. But at that time, maybe 40. I mean, that's about it. It was not the biggest field in the world. Anyway, Max Planck was worried about something that had appeared in his research. He was interested in the behavior of hot bodies. Now, I know if you've got a teenage son out there, he's also interested in the behavior of hot bodies, but that's not the kind of hot body we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is the behavior of things which are hot because their temperature is high. Things like molten steel. In fact, the first time this was noticed might have been when steel mills were operating and people were trying to measure how hot was that steel. Can I pour it yet or not pour it? Because when you look at hot bodies, they do something which tells you they're hot. Namely, they glow. They give off light. And they give off lots of different kinds of light. Red light, yellow light, blue light. And if you look at the different light that comes off these hot bodies, you can actually see different colors. And this is called a spectrum. And you can look at the spectrum of light, and this spectrum of light tells you just how hot the body is. Because that spectrum shifts according to how hot the body is. So what were these guys trying to predict? Well, what they were trying to predict was why the spectrum shifted when things got hotter or colder. And in their explanation, they made a prediction which was so bizarre that it didn't fit what they actually saw. And that made them think, hey, I smell a fish here. Actually, it wasn't quite a fish. It was just a bad calculation. What they predicted was something they called the ultraviolet catastrophe. The ultraviolet, not ultraviolent catastrophe, that we do have a lot of in our time, but an ultraviolet, the violet color. They predicted that as the thing got, you know, hotter, most of the light should be violet and very little of it should be red. But that's not what they observed at all. And Planck said, you know something? I think I see a way out of the problem. And the way to get out of the problem is simply to pretend that the energy and the light is lumpy, like little lumps in your grandmother's oatmeal. Instead of smooth oatmeal, it was lumpy, lumpy oatmeal. And the light coming off from the hot bodies was lumpy. And when he did this, he was actually cheating. He knew this wasn't the right physics, because the right physics predicted the wrong answer. So he said, well, let me do some wrong physics. So let me do some crazy physics. And in 1900, that's what he did. Now, here is Max Planck, very serious physicist, getting up before the German Physical Society on December 14th, 1900, and announcing that he's able to predict the correct spectra of the hot bodies by using lumps rather than continuous flowing energy. Now, you can imagine how hysterical the audience was in receiving the lumpy news. Oh, my God, you would think they'd be jumping up and down and saying, oh, da, da, da. Well, I'll give you a typical reaction of a typical German physicist listening to the talk.
Well, what's for lunch today? What was he talking about? That's crazy. What we're having, Braunschweiger? Oh, that's good. Let's have some Braunschweiger and beer, of course.
And naturally, that's what happened. Everybody, you think when a new idea comes out, everybody's really ready to get it? No, that ain't how it works. When a new idea comes out, people are very reluctant to change the way they've always thought, even when they know it's wrong. Doesn't matter. They don't want to change, and they weren't going to change in 1900. So Planck made this discovery, predicted it, wrote a paper, published it, everything, you know, the Planck idea. Well, by about 4 or 5 years later, people began to pay a little attention to it. And then appears another interesting character on the world stage of physics. His name is Albert Einstein. And Einstein, in 1905, predicted that maybe Herr Planck may have had a good idea. And he actually used the lumpiness of the energy that was coming from the hot bodies to explain a rather new and interesting effect that had been observed before. It was called the photoelectric effect. And what it was this. When you shine light on a metal, electrons boil off. But the light doesn't necessarily boil them off the way you might think. In fact, when you try to predict the way it should work, you would make the following prediction. If I take lots of red light, and a lot of red light, and shine it on the metal, I should get a lot of electrons coming off. But that ain't what happens. All you got to do is shift the light to a little, make it a little bluer, and suddenly electrons start coming off. Even when there's only one or two, a very weak amount of light hitting the metal, they start coming off. Wait a minute. You mean it doesn't depend on how intense the light is? No, not at all, Matilda. It depends on the frequency of the light. And that was a new idea under the sun. And that was the discovery of what we call photons of light. And that was the first quantum effect. Now, this is 1905, and Mr. Einstein in 1920 received, actually, his Nobel Prize for the discovery of the photoelectric effect and his explanation of it in terms of the behavior of lumps of light in which each lump of energy depended on the frequency of the light. So blue light had more energy than red light, for example. Well, you think, okay, that's how it got discovered. But what does that got to do with all the stuff you were talking about before, this imaginary wave and all this kind of stuff? What about it? Where does that come into the picture? Well, we're not done yet. There's a little more to the story. Now, turns out in 1911, Max Planck, who's now earned some reputation in the German physical ranks, and has the opportunity of presenting Albert Einstein as an honor senior member to the German Physical Society, and he says the following. He says, in spite of his obvious error in the photoelectric effect, because actually, even though I came up with the idea, it's got to be wrong. Wait. He said it's got to be wrong. It's his own idea. He's saying he himself is wrong. Yeah, we're now looking at, well, the idea was so crazy to him and so crazy to everybody else that they themselves would even reject themselves. Talk about self-loathing. This was really the epitome of it. The physicists loathing of themselves because their idea was too crazy. So, in spite, he says, of that, we should let Albert Einstein in because relativity theory, after all, by the way, that was also discovered in 1905, should be let in. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in an upcoming session. But anyway, here we have a reluctance of the minds of physicists to accept this new physical idea, this lumpiness which suddenly has appeared. By the way, you know, the word quantum means a whole amount of something. So the reason this was called quantum physics or quantum mechanics at all was because it said we're dealing with lumps, not continuous energy anymore. Lumpiness. Quantum. That's where the idea came from. Okay, now let's carry the story even further, because this isn't the end of the story. This is just the beginning.